When Jesus heard about what happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of the broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children.
Jesus had just heard that his cousin John the Baptist had been murdered by Herod. Not surprisingly, he decided he wanted a bit of space and time to himself, so he got onto a boat and went off to a remote place. But it didn't work. The crowds followed him, a large crowd, 5,000 men, plus all the women and children who were with them. And I wonder if Jesus' heart sank a bit when he looked and saw this enormous crowd of people. What did he do? Well, he didn't tell them that they shouldn't have come. He didn't send them away. He didn't get back on his boat and go off somewhere else. No matter his own private grief over the death of John, he cared for those who had come to him, and he healed those who were sick. Because, as Matthew tells us, he had compassion on them. This is not a God who ever sends people away. This is a God who always has compassion, who always reaches out to touch those who come to him. Does Jesus care about the hunger in the world? Does he know that there are people who are starving and in need? Of course he does, because he is God and he is full of compassion. Then it was getting late, and the disciples came to him and said, "Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." I'm not sure that this was maybe the best idea that the disciples had ever had. Could you imagine a crowd of maybe 10,000 people trying to buy food in the little surrounding villages? What Jesus could have done was to have told them to go home. And that would have been the most sensible thing to do. Just to say to the crowd, "Look, it's beginning to get dark. It's really time you went home for your tea." But Jesus didn't do what I think was the sensible thing and send them away. Instead, he told his disciples to give them something to eat. And we'll come back to the disciples in a moment. But first, we think about a boy who had with him 5 loaves and 2 fish. We don't know much about the boy. We don't know if he was a teenager on his own or if he'd come with his mum and dad. But I guess from the story that his mum had packed a little picnic for him, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And I imagine this boy in the middle of this sea of people, thousands of people, straining to hear the words of a man, trying to get close to him. Maybe he should have moved away, but maybe there was something about this man that made him want to stay, that drew him closer. And as the day wore on, he forgot to eat the picnic his mum had made for him. So interested was he in what the man was saying and doing. And when it got late, he overheard the man and his friends talking about how this crowd of people would be hungry. He heard the man say to his friends, "Give them something to eat." And his friends asked where they could ever get enough food for this great crowd. "Excuse me," he found himself saying, "excuse me, but I've got some food here. You can have it. 5 loaves and 2 fish. He didn't really know what he expected the man to do with it, but he didn't think it would have been right just to eat it himself when everyone else was hungry. Maybe he thought the man could get food from other people and that would help too. But anyway, it seemed to be the right thing to do, to give it to him. What about the disciples? John's gospel says that Philip said to Jesus that there were so many people that even 8 months' wages would not have provided enough food for everyone to get just one bite. The scale of the need was enormous. Matthew's gospel tells us that Jesus said to the disciples, "You give them something to eat." I wonder if you can put yourself in their position. Sometimes I wonder if they would have liked to say to Jesus, "Don't be ridiculous, that's just mad." But of course they didn't dare. How could they even begin to feed these people? Andrew proffered the 2 loaves and the 5 fish. I don't know what he was thinking. Maybe he was thinking it was really crazy, but that was all there was. And so he gave them to Jesus anyway. And then Jesus took the boys' picnic lunch, looked up to the sky, said some words, and broke the loaves apart. He gave pieces to the disciples to give to the crowd, and then he gave more pieces to them, and then more, and then more. He kept on breaking up the loaves and the fish, and they never seemed to come to an end. The boy had some to eat, all he needed to fill him up. And all the people round about him got plenty too, and so did the whole huge crowd. And I wonder if the boy thought, "How could that have happened with my loaves and fish?" The need was so great, and the resources were so few, ridiculously few. And I wonder if we sometimes feel that about our world as we look around us. But here were disciples being commanded by Jesus to feed the hungry. On this day when we give thanks for the amazing harvest we have in this country, for all the myriad of foodstuffs that we can buy in the supermarket, we're called to remember those who are hungry. There are millions far away from us who are starving. What will we do to feed them? And there are people here at home who, to our shame as a country, do not have enough food. What will we do to feed them? The boy gave to Jesus what he had, the tiniest amount you could imagine compared with the need, but it was what he had, and Jesus did not scorn it. Jesus asks us to bring him what we have. As we take an offering for Tear Fund today, we bring what we can. And whatever we bring is an offering to Jesus to use to feed the hungry. Whatever we bring, from whatever resources we have, is taken by him and used in his compassion for the poor and needy. But giving to Jesus what we have is not just about money. There's a Christmas carol we sing that says, "What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would play my part. But what I can, I give him, give my heart." What does Jesus want us to give? What does he want us to do in the place where we are? We're so quick to put ourselves down, aren't we? We find it so hard to believe that Jesus has a use for us. We're just ordinary people with ordinary lives. We're nothing special. Sometimes I feel that what I have to give to God is just like a few loaves and fishes. Hardly anything much, really. But Jesus asks us to give him the little that we have, and who knows what he will do with it. He will take it and multiply it to meet the needs of others. The miracle of the loaves and fishes is one of the best known stories in the whole of the Bible, but it needed a boy and his packed lunch. Just an ordinary, everyday situation that was offered to Jesus and used by him to feed a multitude. What does Jesus want us to give him? Maybe it's the little bit of time we can spend really listening to someone. The little word of comfort. The little things we can do to help someone. The smile, the encouragement. Maybe he wants us to give him our work, that the little everyday things we do would be fitted by him into his great purpose of ruling the world. Sometimes I wonder about the crowd in this story. The people close to Jesus would have seen what was happening. But what about the people on the fringes? Did the message of what was going on reach there? I doubt it. Did they know that a miracle was happening and they were part of it? I imagine a woman at the very back of the crowd, and I picture her as a woman who felt she could do with a few miracles in her life, what with all the family problems and illness and hardly enough money to put food for them all on the table. Maybe she thought that she really should have been cooking and mending. There was so much to do. But instead, she'd come out to the hills above Galilee to hear the preacher. But there was such a big crowd, and it was impossible to get near him. People said this man was the Messiah, and she hoped for a sign, something to show her that he really was the one from God that they'd been waiting for, the one who could transform her life and make her right with God. Maybe he was. It was nice of his friends to come round and give them all a bite to eat. That was kind. But while bread and fish were okay, she had really wanted to see a miracle. Maybe people in the crowd missed the miracle until someone told them. Miracles happen every day, but I wonder if we see them. Miracles happen when ordinary people like you and me give what little we have to Jesus, give him our little ordinary lives, our little abilities, our little acts of service, our little amounts of money, and when he takes that and uses it for his purposes in the world. We're taking a collection for Tear Fund, and the logo says, following Jesus where the need is greatest. There are many charities working in situations of disaster and helping communities in places of need. But one thing that is distinctive about Tear Fund is that they work through local churches. It's not about parachuting people in to tell local people how to live their lives. It's about mobilizing local churches to change lives and build resilient, peace-filled communities. It's about working with local partners who know the situation on the ground and to have a relationship with people in need. Their annual report says, we want to see a world restored to how God intended by empowering people to lift themselves out of poverty. We want to equip Christians and churches to take action so that all people can fulfill their God-given potential and live life to the full. Chalmers Ardler has supported Tear Fund for a long time, and I know that many of you give regularly. So here's what you are a part of. Last year, disaster emergency help was given to 1.6 million people, and community development work helped 1.3 million people. In the 10 years from 2006 to 2016, 13 million people benefited from the disaster response work, and 32 million people through the community development work. And I think that's worth being a part of. We give a little, but all these people are helped. There are miracles going on around the world today as the people of God give to him what little they have, and he uses it to feed the hungry, to house the homeless, to care for the orphans, and to protect the vulnerable. Last week we said that we sometimes wonder what God is doing in the world. He's doing this. He's working quiet miracles of transformation in the lives of millions of people. Let's not miss that. And let's not miss out on being a part of it. You give them something to eat, Jesus said to his disciples. This tiny bit is all we have, they said. And they gave it to Jesus, and there was a great miracle. Amen. Let's stay seated as we sing, Jesus Be the Center. And then we can stand to sing, Hear the Call of the Kingdom, Lift Your Eyes to the King.